I'm privileged to be joined again on Castle Down FM by a friend of the programme, John Pearce, the CEO of Made in Britain. John, it's great to have you back with us again.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Barry.
Yeah, because we spoke just before the party conferences, then we met quite a few times at the conference, so
We
it was
did.
quite a good
Well,
week, wasn't it?
we did, yeah, and it was an extraordinary few weeks, really, for Made in Britain. We were exhibiting, as you know, we were exhibiting at all three conferences. So from the Liberal Democrats in the south of England, I then whizzed up to the north of England to attend both the Conservative and the Labour conferences, and it was a really exciting time for the organisation. It was the first time we'd exhibited like that at all three.
Yeah, and I found it so interesting coming to your stand, John, because I actually, although I'd spoke to you, I actually got a real insight of what Made in Britain was. So just for our listeners, can you tell us a bit about who Made in Britain are?
Well, we are the people that manufacture things. I mean, we're now an enormous group of 2,000, more than 2,000 British manufacturing businesses that all choose to be together on the same website and using the same official Made in Britain mark, which we protect very carefully for them. And so they use it under the rules of what's called a collective trademark. So the companies that are part of Made in Britain, they're all manufacturers, and they can identify their goods with the very well-known Made in Britain mark that people will have seen on the back of vans and on wheelie bins and all sorts of other places, and they use the mark to identify their business as well, to sort of say something greater about the group of manufacturers that we know needs to grow in this country. We need more British manufacturers to be making more goods closer to home, and also setting standards for transparency and due diligence on things like sustainability issues, which is really important to manufacturers, obviously, because of resource scarcity and material use. We need to make things with materials that we've got, and we obviously need to put less waste into the environment as well. So all of these issues come together in a group of now more than 2,000 British businesses that are all made in Britain.
And I know that you would say this, a relatively new company, John. And marks are important because, I mean, you say it, the kite mark, and everybody knows what you're talking about. And
Yeah.
that's what you want to do for British manufacturing. You want that
Absolutely, we
Made
do.
in Britain mark.
Yeah, and as a non-profit as well, it does give you a unique position really in business, because we're doing this for the benefit of the businesses that join. So we're an inclusive group. The only exclusion we make is that if you're not manufacturing a physical or a digital product, then you can't join. I mean, that's not all of our members are making absolutely everything they sell here in the UK. Some of them have to import some of the things they sell. But yeah, they're united, if you like, under the idea that we it's important that we have to carry on making things. I mean, we need things. And the economy really depends on the conversion of raw materials into products to make the things that we need, and that group is growing, and it's of growing significance within the economy as well.
John, a question that I had that I thought about months ago, and I thought next time I see John, I must ask him
That's
this.
why you had me back, was
Yeah, no, it was the whole Northern Ireland situation, with trade, and it was about manufacturing over there, and it came a question to me of when you have that mark Made in Britain, when you're importing elements of the goods, can it still have that mark Made in Britain?
Our identity system is around place. So if your goods are made in Britain, the geographical place of Britain, which is England, Scotland, and Wales, essentially, then you use the Made in Britain mark of our trademark suite. You use that on the goods. And if the goods are made in Northern Ireland, then you have to use the Made in Britain Northern Ireland mark, which is different and includes the word Northern Ireland. And that's the rules, very specific rules of a collective trademark. You can use the mark as long as you're a member of Made in Britain and you're paying the license fee. You can use the mark on your goods, but it has to identify where the goods were actually made. It's not about the people that made them or the nationality of the people that made them. It's actually about where the goods are made so that people have some traceability. And we monitor that very carefully with the website, of course. So if the company is on our website and they're in Northern Ireland and they're making their products in Northern Ireland, obviously they use the a Made in Britain Northern Ireland mark, and likewise for those that are in England, Scotland, and Wales, they use the Made in Britain mark, the classic, as we can call it, because that was the first one that came out.
See, the reason I was asking that, John, it wasn't just the Northern Ireland part, but it's like if you imported something from, say, China, that you needed to make the goods in it. I think it's important to go, you can still use that Made in Britain mark because it was made here.
Yeah, and if you, I mean, we do have members that import some things to sell, things that they can't make profitably in this country. I mean, there are plenty of our members that make everything that they sell in this country. And what we do ask of the ones that are, for instance, they might be importing, say, 10 or 15% of their goods from overseas. What we do ask of them that any time those goods are identified alongside their Made in Britain goods, that it's absolutely crystal clear to the consumer that some of the goods on their website, for example, are identified as clearly where they are being made. So the ones that are made in Britain can carry the mark, and if there are some that aren't made in Britain, then those have to carry an identity to make it of wherever they were made, be it in Europe or further afield than that. They have to carry the identity alongside the identity that the Made in Britain mark is giving for those products that are made here, so that the consumers don't get misled into thinking that the mark is just about everything that's identified from a company, because in some cases it isn't. And we do have very strict rules in our terms and conditions around using the license, that the consumer has to be informed accurately of where the goods were used, and that the mark is part of that accurate definition of where the goods were made.
You mentioned the E word, John, Europe. And a question I would love to know is, how is the Made in Britain mark being received in Europe at the moment?
Well, we haven't done the surveys yet for any of the territories. We know that that anecdotally we know that when people receive goods that are confirmed as being made in this country, we know anecdotally that our country and the products that we make are still very well received in lots of countries. I think in Europe, I think it's probably too early to know whether the dial has moved back in terms of them wanting to receive more goods that are identified as made in Britain in that territory. I mean, we. 7 out of 10 of Made in Britain members are exporting businesses. And of course, those ones that are exporting to multiple territories, Europe will just been one of the territories that they were exporting to. And their ability to export will have been almost unaffected. If you're an experienced exporter exporting to rest of world, as they call it, then the change in our relationship with Europe won't have had that much impact on your business, certainly not negatively. And I think the other thing to point out is, of course, Made in Britain members make hard goods that aren't perishable. So even in terms of sending your goods into Europe, if there is more of a delay on perishable goods, that's a really big cost of business that Made in Britain members wouldn't have, because our members are in the main making things that can be in a queue for customs longer and not be changed or denigrated in any way.
Although customs is getting slightly better, John. I mean, with technology and innovation, there is easier ways of doing it. I mean, what sort of role does technology and innovation play in shaping the future of Britain's manufacturing?
Well, I think it has a lot to do. I mean, certainly in the promotion and the encouragement of people to buy more Made in Britain things. I mean, we as an organization are digital first. We were founded on the idea of a database that records not just where the members are and what they're up to and what they're making and what sector they're in, but it also now is a really effective promotion website for all the members. There's a search engine, so if you're looking for something in particular or a certain product made of a certain material, you can do that within a completely ring-fenced environment on our website. But I think the future is really important, that for the future of digital, at least, is really important for manufacturers in for example, AI, coming up with better, more efficient designs for products to help make them more circular. We know the whole industry knows that you've got to be designing products that are available in market for longer, so that they're having less impact on the environment, and that we're having to draw less raw materials in order to make them. But the other technology that I think will affect manufacturing a lot in the future is traceability. You know, there are new systems appearing all the time that will offer, you know, full traceability, not just on products, but on actual components of products. So I heard today, for example, that you can actually put traceability on not just a blister pack of medicines, but on every single tablet of a blister pack of medicines could be traced. The opportunities, I think, for manufacturers in traceability of goods are really significant. And we know that manufacturers are great at taking these opportunities up, because, you know, if people know where something came from, and they know where they're going to send it back to when they're finished using it, or when it's come to the end of its natural life, you know, that will be doing the whole economy a favor by making sure there's no waste materials that can be turned into high value materials or high value reused materials being sent overseas unnecessarily as waste. So I think technology is when it's applied to actually solving real problems, I think it's very definitely going to have a positive impact on the future of British manufacturing.
And also on the sustainability as well, as you're talking there about waste. I mean, businesses have really got to account for where their waste goes and how things are. And that's really important for the whole manufacturing sector.
Well, our manufacturers, we know from the surveys we've done of members that they score extremely well. When you start asking manufacturers how they limit waste and limit the waste and eliminate completely waste, our manufacturers score extremely well. And we know there's an environmental sort of social value to that. You know, running a business that is sustainable aware, sustainability is about sustaining the profitability of the business as well by doing green things. And manufacturers, of course, have a much greater burden of responsibility when it comes to the environment, because they're the ones using raw materials and turning them into things. And with the proposition that those things will be available to use for a period of time. And contractually, I suppose you could say manufacturers have far more skin in the game of going green. And of course, they have to do that with the knowledge that they also have a premises to run. They're also using energy. They also have to find, you know, skilled people and semi-skilled people that are doing something meaningful. So, you know, the whole sort of matrix of responsibility in environment and society is much more complex for manufacturers. That's why the ones that we promote and the ones that we talk about at Made in Britain on our website are exemplary businesses in lots of ways. And we're trying to promote the fact that the sector is doing extremely well in what they call a green and fair transition to a more sustainable economy. And the more that the general public buy things that are made in Britain, they're actually helping with that. So everyone can do their part as long as they know what's made where.
And John, I'm going to use the B word, and I'm not talking Brexit this time.
Oh,
budget. The budget was yesterday. No, not yesterday, Tuesday, and we've seen not a lot in the budget, but was there much in there for the manufacturing sector? Can they take much joy from it?
Well, the manufacturers will take joy from wherever they can find it. I mean, it was definitely a budget that was more focused around consumers and workers, I think. And obviously that is important to manufacturers. They're big employers. And as I've said, they, generally speaking, if you work for a manufacturer, you know what you're doing, and that's you're playing a meaningful part, to the local and regional economy. I think any investment from any budget towards making equipment easier to buy and to make capital goods easier to finance is always welcome. And there have been some indications that's the case. And I think, you know, going forward, what manufacturers most want is for governments and the opposition actually to state their intent to always try to procure made in Britain things for the economy at large. You know, the government's an enormous buyer of things, all sorts of things. The education department need tables and chairs. I mean, there are so many things that government has to buy, and frankly, by buying British made and by identifying the things that are made in this country and putting them into a procurement sort of priority, they're doing not just the economy a favour, but they're doing society a favour as well.
We may come on to that in a minute, John. All right, but just made in Britain. How can you engage with, you know, government bodies, stakeholders, to really advocate for the interests of manufacturing?
Well, what we do, or at least our methodology, if you like, is to use the asset of transparency with our members to keep an open, what we call an open door policy with government. So we have government speakers come along and speak on webinars and other events for our members to explain what government are trying to do, to improve the plight of manufacturers. 90% of our manufacturers are SMEs, so they're smaller to medium enterprises that are sometimes pioneering new technologies, and any kind of, you know, R&D investment is welcome. But the main way that we promote our members is actually by sharing the news that they share with us. So we have a news platform that we put out as a newsletter to all of business and anyone that wants to read what's happening in the manufacturing communities around the country. They can log into our website or receive the newsletter, and there are literally hundreds and thousands of stories of what manufacturers are doing to succeed, but also exemplifying their successful actions in manufacturing, so that others in business and others in manufacturing can take note of that. And we consider that to be a dialogue with government and the opposition, so that they realise that this manufacturing sector that we have is really precious, it's growing, and that it needs to grow more. And we're trying to put all of the stakeholders in one easy-to-read place and provide them with the information that they need to make better decisions about what to buy.
Well, John, this is an election year, and I'll stake money on it, right? I'm not a betting man, but I'll stake money that it's not going to be me. I think we're looking more November for the election. But what would your members like to see in the manifestos?
Goodness me, I haven't asked them. But I think I can speak for them, because I do speak to the members a lot. But I, we don't generally, engage with our members on that kind of topic, on political topics. We're really just about products and people. But I think I'm sure I can speak for most of our manufacturers when they would say that some kind of policy around, you know, the permanence of procurement favouring British manufacturers. I think I'm sure that all of our members would back that. There have been calls for a sort of Ministry of Manufacturing. I'm not really sure how that would work, and whether it would actually bring any sort of permanent benefit to the sector. But, you know, a procurement bill, there is a procurement bill going through Parliament at the moment, and I expect that to go through regardless of the government that's in power. But I think, you know, a recognition that manufacturing, although it's in numbers, it's perhaps only 10 or maybe 15% of the numerical economy, but when you consider it as part of the social economy of the country, I would guesstimate that it's at least a third of the social economy, just because so many companies are connected to manufacturers. And as I said before, I mean, we can't do without tables and chairs and bricks and mortar and shoes and vans. And, you know, we need these things in the economy, and we need to make more of them in this country so that we don't have to import them from thousands of miles away. You know, that's reducing the carbon footprint as well, which we know is a sort of global responsibility for everyone right now. So I think, buying British, you know, for policies around buying British and provably British, I think would be important. And then maybe, you know, some kind of recognition of the challenge that manufacturers have, and perhaps some kind of manufacturing tax rate or VAT rate or something, a reduction of that, that would recognise how tough it is for manufacturers when you have inflationary pressure on their business. Manufacturers get all the inflationary pressures. So, as I was saying, they're reliant on materials and energy and people and the premises. You know, it's almost a sort of quadruple whammy of of impact when inflation was peaking last year. And yeah, in my view, manufacturers should get some kind of recognition and help with coping, smoothing the curves, I think they call it, of those roller coaster rides of inflation.
Well, John, if any government minister or any MPs listening to us today, what they'll have heard is three times by three different people today, VAT has been mentioned that it needs reduced, which is ringing alarm bells in my ear that something needs to be done on that to help business out. But just finally, John, you know, the thing that I think that most of us can do is look for that Made in Britain mark and buy British. I mean, you said that yourself. But if people want to know more about Made in Britain and, you know, the manufacturers you have, where can they go to?
Well, we only have one website, and that's the idea of all of this. So if they go to www.madeinbritain.org/news or /members, but any of the forward slashes on our website will lead them to information. And there's also a product directory there. So if they're interested in specific products, the members that can publish details of their products, some of them can't, obviously, if they're making something confidential or something that can't be publicized on our website. But lots of our members have put up images of their products, where to buy their products. And that's all within one database where they can search. So members of the public can search for news and information on the products and the people that are making products in Britain right now.
John Pearce, CEO of Made in Britain. It's been a pleasure talking to you again, and I hope we speak again soon.
Thank you, Barry. I'd be delighted to come back later in the year. I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about.